From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Yeah? Welcome to this week's show of Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in Los Angeles, and every week we deal with issues relating to mental health from a holistic perspective, which means body, mind, and spirituality, and seeking to find a balance between what's going on emotionally, what's going on intellectually, mentally, psychologically, as well as soul-based, however you want to call it. And this week, I have a topic that is relevant always, and I'm calling tonight's show, Say Thank You, Young Man, and it's about the importance of expressing appreciation on a lot of levels. So tonight we're going to be talking about saying thank you. And there's no guest tonight, so I'm looking forward to some callers. And just to remind you, if you live in the Phoenix area, the local number is 480-874-1311. That's 480-874-1311. And if you're listening over the internet from outside the Phoenix area, the toll-free number is 1-888-437-7660. That's 888-437-7660. This past weekend, I'm co-president of the Lesbian and Gay Psychotherapists Association of Southern California, and for the fourth year, we did what we call our Community Service Awards, where we honor two therapists who have proven themselves to be of service to the community, which means the GLBT community as well as the community at large, in terms of their skills as a therapist, but also their sense of commitment to contributing as a mentor, as a role model, as a groundbreaker. And this year, the organization honored Don Kilhefner and Betty Berzon, who are both psychotherapists here in Southern California. And Don, being one of the co-founders of the first and largest lesbian and gay center here in Los Angeles, and done a lot of work over the years, especially at the beginning of the movement, dealing with gay rights, and was the founder of many organizations and really broke ground and does a lot of work with gay soul and gay spirit right now. Betty, who's an author of many books, actually was groundbreaking in opening up the American Psychological Association to better understanding and treatment of homosexuals and bisexuals by therapists, by psychologists in particular. And has done some groundbreaking work with gay couples, gay and lesbian couples, and these are two people, both in their 60s, who do this work very quietly in a lot of ways and have a real sense of humility about them, and in certain ways are a little bit uncomfortable with the attention and the accolades and the thank yous that were spoken during the event. But it brought home to me always the importance of expressing one's gratitude for work well done, for accomplishments achieved, for kindnesses expressed, for sensitivity that people show. Now, how often do you feel like you're being taken for granted, where nobody's saying thank you to you for something you've done? How much do you need it? How often do you forget to say it yourself? There is a quotation from a early childhood specialist named Lillian Katz from a Parents Magazine article from October of 1990 called "Should Preschoolers Learn the Three R's?" And what she says is, of course children benefit from positive feedback, but praise and rewards are not the only methods of reinforcement. More emphasis should be placed on appreciation. Reinforcement related explicitly and directly to the content of the child's interests and efforts. Reinforcement related explicitly and directly to the content of the child's interests and efforts. In other words, really praising them and appreciating what they're doing and where they're showing interest. How many of you grew up in a household where thank you was hardly ever said, that there was more arguing and yelling, that you rarely saw mom or dad say, I love you or I appreciate you to one another, that maybe you needed it so much? I mean, we hear stories all the time. As a therapist, I hear it all the time, and it's certainly something that a lot of people can relate to. You know, a kid's working hard at school and comes home with, you know, four A's and a B, and rather than being acknowledged for the A's, there's criticism about the B. And somebody doing as best as they can in sports, and even if they're not a real great athlete, what's wrong with saying, pointing out the good stuff that they're doing as a way of reinforcing it and making it more fun for them and feeling appreciated instead of the criticism that they may be getting from parents or coaches or whatever? So appreciation goes both ways. How many parents out there feel like even their children don't appreciate who they are and what they do for their kids? Okay? Well, appreciation and the tone of appreciation, I believe, has to be set by the parents. That's where it has to start. By the teachers, by the adults. Okay? Children naturally are appreciative. Because if you're doing something for them, it increases their sense of safety, their sense of nurturing, and all the things that help a child grow and feel safe in the world and feel connected. Okay, so children naturally have a way of demonstrating, if not the words, to show, thank you, I appreciate you, I love you, I'm glad you're here. And if it's not something that is responded to, if it's not something that's encouraged, if it's not something that they're receiving, what's happening is these kids are being taught that there is no appreciation of the appreciation. So, again, the tone of thank yous and appreciations, okay, need to be set by the parents, by the adults in the world, not the tone of criticism, the tone of guilting and shaming. So think for a minute, when you were a kid, a time when you really felt good about something you did and nobody acknowledged it. How did that feel? What was your reaction to it? Are you still holding on to it? Was it part of a pattern, or just maybe a disappointment that was isolated? Is there something that your mom or dad did for you that you know was just incredible, and yet they don't know how grateful that you are to them for that particular thing? Or maybe you've never said thank you to them to begin with for everything they have done, that you've been more on the critical line of thinking and expressing. So what do you think would happen if you went up to your parents, no matter how old you are, no matter how old they are, and said, you know what, I've never told you this, but I'm really grateful for this or that. And even if there are plenty of things they did wrong, plenty of things that you felt damaged you, to be able to find something that you've really appreciated them doing for you, or who they were, or how they supported you in a certain situation, what kind of impact do you think that might have? much effort would it take from you to put the pride aside, to put your own anger aside, and to do something that might be very kind instead of perpetuating the distance, the walls, the angers, the criticisms, and the attacks? Saying thank you. First line is parents to kids and kids to parents. So we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how thank you and appreciation takes place and the impact it has in so many other venues like the workspace and other things. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and tonight I'm talking about appreciation, the power of a thank you, a thank you spoken as well as a thank you heard. Again, there is power in expressing your appreciation as well as hearing it. Remember the title of the show, Tell the Truth Faster. How many people are afraid that nobody really wants to hear what they have to say? Well, how often have you withheld appreciation and it turns out that someone's feelings are rather hurt? It happens a lot in volunteer organizations. Back in 1987, I was hired by Marianne Williamson and the board of the L.A. Center for Living, it was called. It was the first and prototype of a number of agencies like it that opened up around the country. And it was a volunteer-based organization. It relied on local therapists and body workers and seminar and support group leaders. It relied on volunteers for the functioning of the center in terms of welcoming and organizational things, and my position as executive director was at the very beginning the only paid position there. And instinctually and consciously, I knew how important it was to let the volunteers know how appreciated they really were. And the more hugs and the more thank yous and the more events that were done, some simple dinners at the center and things like that, that were our way of saying thank you, the better the experience that the volunteers were having, because there was a level of joy that came from truly loving being of service, and then on top of that being appreciated that they're being of service. It made the atmosphere of the Center for Living so much more powerful. And so who benefits from that? Well, everyone does. But in particular, the clients that were using the services immediately felt that level of passion in the center, that level of joy that people were feeling in working there, as well as the other clients and how joyful it was for them to be there to be the recipient of such support and loving attention. So one of the foundations that I knew as an executive director, or as a boss in any situation, and even if it's not a nonprofit and not a service organization, remember as an employer how much more you get out of your employees when they know they're appreciated. How many of you ever worked for like a boss, a foreman, a head of a company that did nothing but criticize, just like a critical parent might be, but nothing you ever did was good enough, and you heard them screaming and yelling and humiliating people in front of other staff members at meetings? What was the atmosphere of that place? How much more difficult was it for that boss to actually get the productivity he was screaming and yelling about to begin with? It's demoralizing. It blows confidence. Motivation is lessened because there's not that support, that level of appreciation. So it works in nonprofits, it works in any business, and the importance of it is astounding. And again, I said, you know, those bosses sometimes are very parental, but you know what, even the thank yous may sound and feel like a nurturing parent. But when we're talking about hierarchy of authority, subconsciously and consciously, we very often see those bosses and authority figures as children, as parents, or parent figures. And very often when we're praised, how many of you have ever experienced being in a meeting? Here you are, a professional, doing what you're paid to do, and the boss acknowledges you. Isn't there a little kid inside of you who's just kind of like heightens and you have this grin on your face like you were a six-year-old just being told that you're a good boy or a good girl? All right? Of course it feels like that because it's the essence of who we are. It's that inner child, that little boy or girl that really grows and thrives on it. Nancy Samelin, who is a parent educator and author, said that no child ever has too much self-esteem. If you take every possible opportunity to point out what children do well, praise them descriptively for it, and express appreciation, your child will become more cooperative, competent, and confident. I'm going to read that again, because remember, what she's saying here applies to helping children develop and grow in a healthy way, but it also applies to us as adults in terms of how it helps us improve our self-esteem and confidence. What she says, Nancy Samelin, no child ever has too much self-esteem. If you take every possible opportunity to point out what children do well, praise them descriptively for it, and express appreciation, your child will become more cooperative, competent, and confident. Now remember, this only works if it's really unconditional. If your praise is conditional, if your praise is on the one hand saying, you do good, I wish you could do this all the time, you're also saying to them, you're not good all the time. If you're saying to them, you know, it's about time that you did something right, that's a left-hand compliment. That's not a sense of appreciation. That's still a feeling of criticism. So the way it comes out and the clarity with which it's being expressed and staying in the moment of that acknowledgement, the thank you, the appreciation, whatever it's about, keeping it current, keeping it about present time, and not comparing it to a more negative experience or a negative time or old patterns that that child or the adult may exhibit sometimes. So, again, that sense of appreciation goes a long way. And remember that there's a need for it within you even as an adult, which means that the other adults you may be criticizing, whether it's your adult children, whether it's your parents, whether it's friends or coworkers or colleagues, know that there is a bruising going on when you're not expressing appreciation and saying thank you. And know that there is a bonding and a connectedness that comes on when there's that kind of soul connection that comes with a heartfelt sense of appreciation and something expressed from the heart. So, again, we may be talking to adults, but there's a little kid inside there that is grateful and appreciative of hearing it. And remember, the reactions you get from people when you do say thank you to them? How does it make you feel? You know, sometimes they may be a little shy about it, or they don't know how to receive it. You know, when you get a compliment or someone saying, I really appreciate what you did for me, how many of you had difficulty hearing that when someone says that to you? That it's more than a lack of, it's more than humility. For some people, the self-esteem is so low and they don't see themselves as people who deserve that kind of appreciation and compliments and things like that. And it's about your self-esteem level and how that got so beaten down that when there's a legitimate compliment paid and legitimate appreciation expressed, why is it so difficult for you to hear it? Or you, all of us have been aware of when we've expressed it and we've seen people kind of push it aside or whatever, and it's a little hurtful to us if we're not aware that this is just the person who has difficulty hearing kind things expressed to them. The aim of life is appreciation. This is a quote from Gilbert Chesterton, a British author. The aim of life is appreciation. There is no sense in not appreciating things. And there is no sense in having more of them if you have less appreciation of them. Well, think about that for a minute. We're going to take a short break because we're talking about appreciating not just what other people do and expressing it, but having a sense of appreciation for life in general and home and all these things. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our next segment of Tell the Truth Faster. We're talking tonight about appreciation, the importance of expressing it, and the importance of hearing it, of just a simple thank you. Now remember, part of what we're talking about is not something deep and profound. Part of what we're talking about is common courtesy. Someone says something to you that you appreciate, you say thank you. Someone does something for you that you appreciate, you say thank you. Somebody serves you something in a restaurant, you say thank you. It's acknowledging immediately and very simply somebody for their service. I mean, have you ever been a waiter or a waitress and you're treated like you're invisible instead of feeling a connection with the people that you're serving? How much more difficult is it for you to get through your shift when you just seem... It just seems like people are not appreciative of the service that you're giving, even if it's good service. It just makes the job go faster. It makes the shift go faster. Now, another important aspect of thanking people are those individuals that thrive on it, that need to be told thank you, that need to be told how much they're appreciated, to the point that, and I find this often in volunteer organizations like I was talking about earlier, even at the Center for Living and with other nonprofits that I've worked for and volunteered at myself, there's a certain number of people who are volunteers who set themselves up for this martyrdom thing. That they do so much and they do so much and, you know, they never say no. And if they're not thanked the right way, if they're not thanked appropriately and what's appropriately in their mind, if they're not thanked immediately, there is such hurt feelings and such anger that they could actually become retaliatory. They leave in a huff. In other words, they do so much, and the next thing... It's like they're setting up the head of volunteers is setting up the hierarchy of the organization as their parents, who probably never said thank you to them, and probably never expressed appreciation or acknowledged anything that they did, and they're still trying to get it. And their assumption is they're not worthy of it even when they get it, and that if they don't get it, then the people who should be saying it to them are bad, evil, and here's just another example of how cruel the world can be and how unappreciated they really are. Any volunteer organization has a certain number of people who do that. So let's look at the other side of being of service. The altruistic side of it, the unconditional side of it, the fact that you're doing it not for the appreciation, you're doing it not to hear thank you, you're doing it because of the joy you feel of being of service and supporting an organization or someone that you value, that maybe supports a population that is very important to you. So what if you get kind of lost in the mob and never hear the thank you? Is that what you're there for, or is it being of service that you're there for? Now, I know this contradicts everything I've been saying, because what I'm saying on the show is how important it is for people to acknowledge each other and to say thank you. It's the people with the low self-esteem and the people whose self-identities are so fragile that if they don't hear it, then there's an implosion or an explosion. So it's important that you assess yourself. Are you one of these people that is so fragile that you constantly see this pattern of you give and give and give and give, and nobody seems to acknowledge you and nobody knows to say thank you to them, and then you get angry and hurt and you end up leaving and making them the devil incarnate, and there's no healing it for you? Chances are there's something that happened a long time ago in your home growing up that still hasn't been healed. Something that mom or dad said or didn't say, did or didn't do. Maybe it was a teacher. Could have been anyone, a clergy member, a friend that you had when you were growing up. So if you're that reactive and where you're helping friends or family or at work or volunteering your time, then it's very important that you be honest with yourself and tell the truth faster to yourself that there's some hurt in there that you haven't healed, and find yourself a good therapist or some workshop or seminar or something that you can do to consciously say, I need to go in there and heal that. I need to forgive my parents. I need to forgive that teacher. I need to forgive that friend. I need to forgive myself. And maybe it's, I need to forgive God. Now, I talked just before the break about appreciating things. How many of you take what you have for granted? Don't value taking care of your home, your car, the clothes you wear, are constantly comparing it to other people that have more, or something else, that whatever it is you have isn't good enough. Well, that's fine if what it's doing is motivating you to raise your standard of living, or motivating you to save for something that you find very important, or motivating you to improve the quality of your community so that everybody shares in something better. But if you're not appreciating what you have because it's, again, part of that pattern of I'm not good enough, I can't achieve things, I can't accumulate things, and what is it you're passing on to your kids? You know, a lack of a sense of appreciation. So if your kids are constantly breaking things and constantly losing things and kind of, you know, there's something that maybe you're so attached to things that's the only way they can get your attention. Or maybe the example you're giving them is that there's no value to the home that they're living in and taking care of this stuff. There are issues that go on with looking around your own home, looking around your life, looking at the quality of how you take care of your vehicles. And what do you see? Things that need fixing that never get fixed? Things that are run down that you just keep letting go like that? Accumulating things constantly and still feeling like it's not enough? Again, then go inside and find out why it is that you're not valuing those things. What kind of examples did you have growing up? Maybe it's a rebellious thing on your part because mom and dad put so much emphasis on things and not you and not people. So let's take it out even further because it's a sense of appreciation. You know, very often I talk to people about, you know, it's a common 12-step thing to do a gratitude inventory. What is it that you are grateful for? Who is in your life that you are grateful for having them in your life? What are the things these people mean to you, have done for you, or just what they represent to you that you are really grateful for? Make a list. Put it in writing. What does that list look like? What kind of things are on there? What kind of people are on there? Is it hard for you to do that? Is it hard for you to find things about yourself, about other people that you really can say thank you to? What about however you define God or spirituality or whatever? What about the things that come to you through that sense of God? How grateful are you for that? Or are you so angry because of a chronic illness or because of the lack of money in the bank or feeling lonely and not in relationship? Are you so angry and feel like God's not been taking care of you? And are you so fixated on what you don't have that it's hard for you to focus on what you do have to appreciate? And to know and understand that whether it's something beautiful in nature, whether it's something soulful for you in your life, whether it's something simple, whether it's something that you might consider major. Have you said thank you to God, however you define God in your life? Have you said thank you to Spirit? And how have you done that? One way to do that is to take care of nature, to take care of the things that have that soul. We know with Native Americans very often, you know, the essence of their sense of spirituality is that Spirit lives in everything, and everything is to be appreciated. And every ceremony and every ritual is about appreciating every aspect of nature, appreciating the food that comes from the animals, the clothing that comes from the animals, sense of the elements, the atmosphere, fire, wind and rain, and a greater sense of appreciation that really allows them to say thank you. In fact, in terms of one of my teachers, Bearhart, there's a phrase in his language, in his culture, that is just that. The way they greet each other is to say Yaweskino. Whether how they're saying hello, how they're saying goodbye, it's Yaweskino. And what that means is, thank you for being. It's a powerful statement to say hello to someone by saying thank you for being. To say goodbye to someone by saying thank you for being. To be able to look at a tree and say thank you for being. That's all you're thanking them for because you have such a sense of gratitude just for the existence of that tree, of that person, of the house that you're living in, of the body that you're roaming the earth in this lifetime in. Thank you for being. Yaweskino. To me, we have so much to learn from that kind of attitude and that kind of philosophy and that kind of way of living. Thank you for being. Think of what it would be like for you to go up to people tomorrow and everyone you meet, that you greet them with thank you for being. Everyone you see at work tomorrow, that what you say to them is thank you for being. We're going to take another quick break here and come back for our final segment. And we're going to talk about appreciation in relationships. So stay tuned. This is Stuart Altschuler and Tell the Truth Faster. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler in our closing minutes of Tell the Truth Faster, and our topic tonight has been Say Thank You, Young Man, the importance of expressing appreciation. How many have heard that, you know, say thank you to that person, you know, said that to your kids. You know, we try and teach our kids to say thank you, but we don't always set the example. And we're not really explaining to them why it's important. You know, teaching them rote skills is not necessarily helping them understand and integrate why it's important to treat people that way. Teaching them rote skills, you know, may only be teaching them that they'll get more of what they want if they perform that way, but it doesn't mean you're reinforcing the essence of the fact that it's appropriate and right to behave this way in the world. Now let's talk, like I said before the break, about relationships. As a therapist who deals with a lot of couples, one of the things that is so evident in most couples when they get into therapy is the fact that their conflict and strife and fear have grown to the point where there is so little expression of appreciation towards one another that by the time they get to therapy, they're in such crisis that neither one of them can remember the last time the other said thank you to them for something. And it builds the resentment, and it builds the retaliation and the counterattacking constantly, because, you know, well, I'm not going to say thank you because he never thanks me for that, or, you know, she never appreciates all I do in the relationship, so why should I express my appreciation? Somebody has to break the cycle. And very often, what I do, especially in the first session, is with a couple, you know, okay, why are you here? What are the issues? What brought you into therapy? But also, what is it you appreciate about your partner? What do you remember attracted you there in the first place? What is it that made you fall in love to begin with? What essence is there that you appreciate so much? And so often, helping them get back to that is half of the work in couples therapy. Helping them remember that before there was all of this pain and suffering and attacking and wall building, there was something that was light-filled for them, something they saw in each other's eyes, something that was being expressed through their hearts, through their behaviors, the way they treated one another. And then we go to look at, when did this start changing? When did you stop saying thank you? When did you stop expressing your appreciation? What happened? Was there an incident? Was there a pile of them? And is what you appreciate about one another enough to rebuild and reconnect in a way that the relationship can be salvaged and actually enhanced? how many of you are able to say that even in the darkest place, that something good came out of it? I remember when I talked earlier about the Center for Living. That place was such a joy for me to work. I got paid to go into a place where there was this constant energy of light and love and people just doing some incredible, miraculous things there. And a year into it, I got fired by Marianne. And, you know, there were problems administratively because it was too much for one person to do. And it was so totally painful. I mean, a number of months later, she called me to apologize because she realized that there was another way to have handled it. But I know that if I hadn't been pushed out of there, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I wouldn't have had the experiences I had today. That I was so in need of that kind of atmosphere that I would have stayed forever and never have gotten into the private practice the way I had. I never would have traveled to Russia to do the work that I did in the early 90s. I never would have, I just wouldn't be where I am today. So while it was so totally painful at the time, I look back on it and say, thank God I got pushed out of there. And the only way it would have happened was a swift kick out of there. It was just too comfortable. It was too wonderful. Not that anything's too wonderful, but it was so wonderful that why would I ever want to leave this? Well, God had other things in store for me and things that I am meant to do in this world, and sometimes we're afraid to step into the unknown because the known is feeling so good. Sometimes we're afraid to shake things up because, you know, why would I do that when this just feels so good? It's the same thing in relationships. When things are not feeling good, people go running. And things escalate, and they start feeling worse. Okay? Why would anyone stay in something like that? Well, for some people, there's just as much of a fear of what they might be going to. But for other people, that feeds into their belief about themselves, the problems with the self-esteem. But for a lot of people, it's not a happy space. What can you do to heal it? And sometimes what you can do to start the healing process is to start remembering what you appreciate and expressing it. To get past how angry you are, and when your partner says something that you really appreciate, to respond in kind. When someone does something, however you small or large a thing, to say thank you. To let them know through all of the chaos and the pain and the suffering, you're still aware when something nice is going on between the two of you. Don't underestimate the healing power of something that simple. I've seen major changes with clients in session within just one or two sessions because of what we're talking about right now. The power is incredible. There's another quote actually by Carl Jung, who many of you may know, is a very famous psychiatrist who studied with Freud. And his quote is, "One looks back with appreciation to the brilliant teachers, but with gratitude to those who touched our human feelings. The curriculum is so much necessary raw material, but warmth is the vital element for the growing plant and for the soul of the child." I'm going to read that again because this is a powerful statement by Carl Jung. "One looks back with appreciation to the brilliant teachers, but with gratitude to those who touched our human feelings. The curriculum is so much necessary raw material, but warmth is the vital element for the growing plant and for the soul of the child." This is the essence of everything I've been talking about this evening. Whether it's a child in your life, or memories of yourself as a child, or whether it's the wounded child within the adult that you are, or the adult that you know, the warmth is the vital element for the growing plant and for the soul of that child. warmth, appreciation, compassion. Think back to who you deem as an important figure in your childhood. Was there a teacher who touched your feelings, an adult who touched your feelings, and made you realize you're more than you thought? I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you for being Yoeskino. See you next week. This is Stuart Altshuler, and Tell the Truth Faster.